Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. Chapter 10. The distinction between the part of the Kingdom of God that comes to us and the expectations of people regarding the Kingdom of the Lord. In the previous chapter, we saw that there are several reasons why many individuals do not use the part of the Kingdom of God that is already available for their lives in the time they are still on earth, or that is already available to them in the Lord for the most different situations of their daily life. Many people, for instance, do not benefit from what is offered to them from the Kingdom of God for the time of life on earth by ignorance, by neglecting the search of the heavenly kingdom in the first place, by despising what God reveals to them, and even by seeking what is not yet allowed to be experienced instead of using what is already available to them in the Lord. In this new chapter, however, we would like to point out that many people also do not benefit on a larger scale from the Kingdom of God in the present time because they are seeking what they by themselves think or understand to be the Kingdom of God, but whose concepts, in reality, are not part of what is the Kingdom of the Lord offered to them. Although they may even make a great effort in the search for the Kingdom of God, many individuals do not reach the aspects of the heavenly kingdom by seeking, as being the Kingdom of God, what is not indeed contained in what the Lord defines as being His eternal kingdom. When the Lord Jesus Christ instructed people to pray for the Kingdom of God to come to them, He did not call them to create an expectation that asking for the coming of the Kingdom of God could somehow become equivalent with them asking for what they think that this kingdom is or what they would like to receive from the Kingdom of Heaven. For to seek even with care and intensity something that is not of the Kingdom of God, as if it were of this kingdom, does not make what is sought as being part of the heavenly kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches that a person may ask God for material things, and He did it when He said that we should also pray to the Heavenly Father for our daily bread. However, a specific prayer for the coming of the Kingdom of God should be a request with the expectation that the Lord will grant what is part of the Heavenly Kingdom indeed. When the Lord Jesus Christ told His disciples to seek His Kingdom first, He did not teach them to seek things that resemble the Kingdom, things that people would like to associate with the Kingdom of God, or the aspects or persons that human beings from themselves announce as being part of the Lord's kingdom. Therefore, once an individual becomes instructed about the aspect that there are parts of the Kingdom of the Lord to be made available in the future and that there are parts that are already available for the present time, it is also very significant for him or her to discern what encompasses the Kingdom of God that comes to us and what is not indeed part of the Kingdom of God. And it is again in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can find the broadest and most accurate definitions of what constitutes the part of the Kingdom of God that is to be sought in the present time and which, therefore, is offered by God to people still on earth, as can be seen in the following text. Luke 17:20-21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the Kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The Kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the Kingdom of God is within you." Considering the words of the last text above, which declare that the Kingdom of God does not come to us in a naturally visible way and that the Kingdom of God is also expressed on earth in people's hearts, it is incompatible with the words of the Lord Jesus a person, for instance, pray for the Kingdom of God to come and then expect to receive something visible or outwardly as if it, in itself, were the very Kingdom of God or part of it. According to the Scriptures, the Kingdom of God certainly acts in favor of people on earth who trust in the Lord, adding to them also natural food, drink, and clothing. However, material food, drink, and clothing in themselves are just not considered by God as part of what is the Kingdom of Heaven. Although the Lord reigns over rain, the sun, spring, summer, fall, winter, and over other several aspects that influence the natural growth of things on earth, the Lord does not include food, drink, and clothing that are produced in the natural world as being what he calls the heavenly kingdom, an aspect that is confirmed very objectively also in the following text recorded in Paul's letters. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God may even bless a person with several distinct natural gifts, but even if a person achieves abundant elementary or differentiated material goods by the favor of the Lord, material things do not encompass what the Lord has established as being part of what is termed by him as the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Thus, discerning what is and where the kingdom of God can be found while a person still lives on earth is crucial to those who yearn for an appropriate relationship with this kingdom, for a substantial discernment about the kingdom of God is indispensable so that a person does not spend his or her life seeking for the kingdom of God in that which is not indeed the eternal kingdom of the Lord. Understanding the general and central aspects of the kingdom of God and then going into broader detail, as well as knowing several aspects of things that do not make up the kingdom of heaven indeed, is very relevant for an individual not to fall into the error of seeking as being of the kingdom that which the kingdom is not or what will not be granted as part of the heavenly kingdom.